Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
We're in week three of our series, Easter People, and we've been talking about people who had a part of the resurrection story of Jesus. Well, in week one, we talked about Pontius Pilate and how Pontius Pilate was the Roman governor who actually sentenced Jesus to death, right? But before that happened, he had a conversation with Jesus. He called him over and he's like, okay, help me try to understand what the truth is here, right? Why are your own people wanting to kill you? Pilate was looking for the truth of the situation. And Jesus said, truth is more than a situation. Truth is a who and truth is a what. And Jesus is truth. He's truth. He came to bring the truth and he came full of grace. He came full of grace. And then in week two, Pastor Bob did an amazing job of introducing Peter, our Easter person, Peter. Now, Peter was a disciple of Jesus, right? He walked with Jesus for 3 years, but Peter was a regular guy, just like us, just a regular dude, right? He made mistakes. He struggled. And even though he walked with the Savior of the world for 3 years, side by side, learning from him, being taught face to face from Jesus himself, Peter still made some bad decisions, y'all. He was like us. He made some bad decisions. He made some mistakes. He got it wrong a few times. But you know what? He didn't let that define his life. And we can't either. Peter received God's forgiveness, and he went on to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the whole place around him. Amen. Today, I'm going to share with you our third Easter person. But before I get started, I'm going to get a drink of water, and we're going to pray. So take a drink of water, too, so it doesn't get weird. All right, Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. I thank you for who you are. You are great and greatly to be praised, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that today that you will just take hold of my mind, my will, my emotions, my very breath in my lungs that I know came from you, Father God, and speak through me. Get me out of the way, Lord. This is not about me. This is about you. May your word come forth exactly like you want it to come forth. Father, I pray that we are all changed from the inside out by the power of your word. We love you, God, and we thank you for this beautiful place that we get to gather together and learn more about you. We love you, Father. In the name, above all names, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. 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 All right, so everyone has a story, right? Let there be light. There you go. God is good, y'all. You know, everybody has a story, right? We all have a story of our life. And you know, everybody who's come in your life, good or bad, they've been part of your life story. Well, the same thing's true for Jesus. Every person who came in contact with Jesus had a role in his life here on earth. And today I want to tell you about a woman who was a follower of Jesus. And her name is Mary Magdalene. Now, there are a lot of unknowns about her. Really, scripture doesn't tell us a whole lot about her. And actually, when I was doing my research, I didn't find a lot in the Jewish historians' writings about her either. There's not a lot that we know about her, but what we do know is that Mary Magdalene came from a large, rather wealthy city, and it was located on around the shore of the Sea of Galilee, the city of Magdala, which is how she got her name. You know, back in those days, you were either known by who your daddy was, who your father was, or what city you came from. So she's from Magdala, hence the name Mary Magdalene. And she was a part of Jesus' ministry. She was a big part of Jesus' ministry. And we know this because Mary Magdalene is mentioned several times in all four of the Gospels. Not just one, all four of the Gospels mention her. And we also know that she had money because the Bible also tells us that she financially supported Jesus and the disciples. She supported all of them. So you could say she was a big tither. And not only that, she gave freely. She gave freely. She gave not only her money, but she gave her time, her talents. She served Jesus faithfully. Wherever there was a need, she'd figure out a way she could help. You know, have you ever had those people in your life? They're your writers, right? They're going to be there for you. You got a need. Hey, man, what do you need? How can I help you? Let me help you. And they don't even sometimes ask. They just jump in because they know what you need, right? Well, that was Mary Magdalene. She was fully devoted to Jesus, and she wanted to make sure that his message spread wherever it needed to go. Always willing to help. Help with her money, help with her time, help with whatever she could do. And today, I'm going to show you why. Why this independent, wealthy, single woman living in a cosmopolitan city gave up all of that to follow a nomadic son of a carpenter who claimed to be the Messiah. Right. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. We're going to read from there. Now, only verse 2 is on the screen, but starting in verse 1, it tells us how Jesus and his disciples, his 12 disciples, had been walking around, you know, going everywhere, spreading the gospel, and how he had healed some women along the way, right? Well, one of them was Mary Magdalene. And it tells us that she specifically had 7 demons, and Jesus freed her from that. Now, Scripture doesn't describe how, doesn't give us a lot of details, but we know she was tormented. We know she was tormented because in the Bible, it tells us in other places that demons caused sickness, they caused disease, death, paralysis, and mental illness. And Mary Magdalene had 7 demons tormenting her. Now, 7 is a significant number, y'all. I want you to think about this. There are 7 colors of the rainbow. And the rainbow was a sign from God reminding us of his covenant to love and take care of his people. 7 colors of the rainbow. There are also 7 notes on a musical scale. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. 7 notes complete the musical scale. There are 7 days in a full week. You getting this? 7's important. 7 is the number of completion in the Bible. And this poor woman was tormented by 7 demons. In other words, Mary Magdalene was completely engulfed in darkness and torment and pain. And Jesus set her free from all of that. And it's no wonder she gave herself completely to him and to spreading the gospel. Because when Jesus set this tormented woman free, she came out changed, y'all. She was bound up in complete, 7 demons, complete darkness. And Jesus set her free completely. When you have an encounter with Jesus, the Savior of the world, there is no way, absolutely no way, you can walk away not changed. No way. No way. You know, we have a little rescue dog, and his name is Max. I think CJ has a little picture of him. That's Maxie. Max, we got him as a puppy, and he's 5 years old now, right? So he's been living in paradise for 5 years. Well, one day when he was a puppy, we were walking him around, and our neighbor Ross down the street said, hey, man, he's from Brooklyn. I love Ross. I wish I could do his accent, man. He was so great. Big Brooklyn accent. Hey, man, you got a new dog? And we're like, yeah, this is Max. I started telling him stories, a rescue dog, da, da, da. And Ross is like, oh, man, dude, rescue dogs are the best. They're the most loyal dogs. He's going to be the best dog you ever had. He goes, you know what, man? They're grateful. Rescue dogs are grateful. And you know what? Max is the best. We got a little bougie dog, a full purebred bougie dog. She's so entitled. Not Max. Max is amazing. Max will come when you call him. Max runs away, comes back. Max is the best because I do believe he's grateful. You know, when we found him or when he was brought to us, the vet says this puppy got a belly full of worms and he was full of fleas and we got him all fixed up. That dog sleeps in the air-conditioned house. He sleeps in this really soft, cushy bed. We put bacon grease with his dog food, y'all. His dog's got it made. He's grateful. He acts like it. Because you know what? Gratitude is powerful. When you're grateful, it shows. And we don't know how or when those demons started tormenting Mary Magdalene. You know what? Maybe she was abused as a child. You know, back then, girls were never considered worth anything. They weren't valued. Maybe her parents didn't protect her. They didn't cherish her. And maybe someone abused her. Maybe her parents wanted a girl and, wanted a boy and they got a girl. Maybe they were disappointed. So they just rejected her. You know, y'all, when you're rejected, when you grow up knowing that the people who are supposed to love you and care for you don't really want you, that's hard. That's hard, y'all. I'm telling you, it's hard. It leaves a hole in your heart. When you grow up rejected, it leaves a hole in your heart that you're going to look for anything to fill. Anything to fill that hole to make you feel loved, accepted, important. Maybe that's what happened to Mary Magdalene. Maybe she was trying to numb the pain of rejection, of a broken, burning heart. And in her trying to fill it up with all this stuff, she just came out worse. She came out tormented, completely tormented. We don't know for sure. But what we do know is that this woman was completely given over to darkness. She was tormented. She was hurting. And I need you to watch this. Jesus knew where she was. He knew where she was, and he pursued her. Amen. You know how we know that? Because Magdala is next to the Sea of Galilee. Jesus was from Nazareth. He wasn't from Galilee. And she lived near Galilee. So he found her. He found her. He pursued her. He pursued this tormented woman. He found her. And when he saw her and that she had a real need, a need that only he could provide for, he was moved with compassion and he healed her. He set her free. He put her back in her right mind, y'all. He healed her brokenness. He gave her hope, unconditional love. People can only love you so much. Jesus loves you no matter what. And he changed her life. And she knew it. She knew it. Let me tell you something. When Jesus lifts you up out of a messy, nasty mess, you know it. King David had an encounter with God. And this is what he wrote in Psalm 40, verse 2. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, set my feet on a rock, and gave me a firm place to stand. This right here, this is your firm place to stand. Everything around you can be slimy and slippery and you feel like you're falling. No, you stand on this. This is God's word. This is the firm place to stand that King David was talking about. And then he said, he put a new song in my mouth. Instead of a song of woe is me, he put a song of praise to our God so that many will see and put their trust in the Lord. Mary Magdalene had an encounter with Jesus and it left her different, y'all. It left her grateful. An encounter with Jesus leaves you grateful. Amen. This woman was completely engulfed in darkness. Jesus found her, and he brought her into his light. Yes. This woman was grateful because you know how we know that? It's what she did when he freed her. That showed her gratefulness. She poured her entire life into the church, into spreading his word, into moving his movement forward. She was grateful. And grateful people show up. And they keep showing up. You know, we have people serving here every Sunday. People here, y'all don't know about it, but they're making church happen. Somebody comes in early, sets the flags out on the street so people will know we're back here. They make the coffee. They get the kids' rooms all ready for the babies. People are showing up early on Sunday mornings to make sure church happens. And you know what? My prayer has always been that they're doing it out of a grateful heart. I don't want them to do it for me or Pastor Bob because we're going to let you down. At some point, we're going to let you down. We're regular, real people. We're going to let you down. Don't do it for us. Do it for Jesus. Do it for the gratefulness in your heart that you have for Jesus because of what he did for you. Mary Magdalene served with a grateful heart. And she was generous. She showed her gratitude. She wasn't like, oh, thanks, Jesus. Man, I'm so great. I'm so free. I'm going to go live my life. I'm young. Got all this money. No, she didn't do that. She did not do that, y'all. She looked for ways to show her gratitude for all that God had done in her life. And you know what? Not only that, she left room in her life to be able to pivot and be a blessing anytime she needed to because she had received such a blessing. She got her right mind back, y'all. She didn't sit back and chill. Gratitude is never silent, y'all. Gratitude is never silent. Gratitude is never invisible. Gratitude shows up. Gratitude shows up. Mary Magdalene wanted to do everything she could to help get the gospel out. She wanted to make sure that other people had a chance to experience what she experienced with the living God. And you know what? She was willing to invest it all and risk it all. Gratitude will do that to you, y'all. You know, when God called Pastor Bob and I to plant this church, our hearts were like, we're all in. Everything's put our chips in the middle of the table is all we got. We're all in. And it's because we had had encounters with Jesus. And we were so grateful. We were grateful for God's goodness and mercy in our own lives. And we'd seen other people's encounters with Jesus. And we wanted to do everything we could to make sure that more people had a chance to encounter God. We knew it was going to require a lot of us, y'all. We were old. Let's put it this way. Okay, a little vintage. Little vintage, y'all. Set in our careers. Our kids were out of the house. We had plans. We had plans, y'all. We had plans. We were going to do this and do... No, but you know what? We knew it was going to require a lot of us. It was a risk to start a church in the middle of a pandemic lockdown, because that's when we started planning this church. Lockdown. Our business was slowing down because of COVID. We didn't have any seed money. We had a little savings. We didn't have any seed money. We didn't even have a team yet. But we had a message born out of grateful hearts, and we wanted to share it. So when our business was slow and churches were all locked down, we started pouring our money and our time into building this church. And then we gathered a team, like-minded believers. We gathered a team. JoJo was the first one. My kids, first one. Gathered a team. And this team, y'all, sacrificed their time, their money, their talent into building this church. And it's all because of gratitude, y'all. Gratitude. And you know what? I'm not even going to lie. There were days we were like, man, what are we doing? Is this going to work? Did we really hear? Is this going to work out? Are people going to come? Are we going to sustain? How's this going to work? But you know what? None of that stopped any of us. None of that. We were so grateful for what God had done in all of us. We knew that an encounter with Jesus was going to change some people. So even if we did all of that and just one person was saved, it was all worth it. The entire team felt that it was all worth it. If one person meets the Savior of the world, because you know what? You can't put a price on salvation, y'all. You can't put a price on being taking the demons out of your mind so you can think right, so you can live right, so you can be free. You can't put a price on that. And Mary Magdalene, she had to have known that, y'all. She was willing to risk her money, her time, her standing in the community, her reputation, even her life. Think about that. There was a woman they caught fooling around with this one guy, and here she was hanging out with 12 guys, and Jesus, single woman hanging out with 12 guys. She didn't care. She wasn't afraid. She had had an encounter with Jesus, and that had changed everything about her. She was grateful. And Mary Magdalene was also resilient. You know, being under demonic torment, that doesn't mean you're not able to function. Doesn't mean you're not able to function. You just learn to live with your pain. Does anybody in here know what I'm talking about? You learn to live with the pain. And the more you do that, you start to develop some resilience. Mary Magdalene was resilient while she was tormented. And you know what? That resilience made her a powerhouse for Jesus. So when Jesus freed her, she stepped up in a big way. She knew how to function in the pain. So when she got free, she was on fire for God. On fire for God. You know, have you ever met someone and you know that God's brought them out of some stuff, right? But they still talk about it. They still talk about what happened, replaying the circumstances, replaying the hurt. It's like you never knew that God brought them out of anything. But you know what? When God delivers us from something, yeah, we're supposed to share it with others. It's called a testimony, right? You share it with others. But the focus is never supposed to be the pain, the bad. The focus should always be on God. So that way when we can say to someone, hey, man, this is what God got me through. He can do it for you. That's the point. I want you to look at Exodus 9:16. Go to the Old Testament. Beginning of the book, second book of the Bible. Exodus 9:16. Now, this is what God told Moses to tell Pharaoh. In this scripture, God is saying, look, Pharaoh, you're in power because I allowed it. Let me stop right here. This isn't in my notes, but I need to say this to somebody. We need to not worry about who's in the offices here and there and everywhere. We need to remember God's in control. God allowed Pharaoh, who was gnarly, to be on that throne. So he's allowing some stuff to happen in Austin, in Washington, all over the place. Trust God. Trust him. He knows what's going on. And God is telling Pharaoh, look, man, you're in power because I allowed it. But it's not about you. It's to make my name famous so people will see my power. It ain't about you, brother. You and the rest of the world, y'all about to see what happens when you mess with my people. God's watching things, y'all. He sees it all. Don't think he doesn't see what's going on around us. Don't think he doesn't see the torment, the pain, what you're going through. Let me tell you something. Just because bad things happen doesn't mean that's your entire story. It's only part of your story. God wants to redeem the bad and bring you out of it, but it doesn't stop there. He wants you to share what he's done for you with others. So when God brings you out of something, you got to live like it. Live on purpose. Be thankful that God was there for you, because people are going to notice that. And that's what very well may encourage them. That's what may lead them to Jesus. You know, some of y'all here today, I know you've been through some hard stuff and it's made you resilient, but God has more for you. God wants to set you free. Mary Magdalene was resilient while she was tormented by demons, y'all. But it wasn't until she had an encounter with Jesus that her resilience, listen to this, her resilience became a weapon against the forces of darkness that she was completely engulfed in. The very kingdom that Jesus set her free from. And as she walked with Jesus, Mary Magdalene became emboldened by the gospel. Look, y'all, she hung out with 12 guys, despite what society thought about that. That's bold. That's bold. A single woman? Hello? She didn't have anybody paying her bills, but she still supported Jesus generously with her own money. That's courageous. 1 John 4:8 tells us that when you encounter the love of Jesus, you're not the same. The things that used to torment you, keep you afraid, locked up in fear, when you encounter Jesus, his perfect love handles that. His perfect love, that love that forgives a broken, contrite heart. When you encounter Jesus, that love destroys fear. But here's the key. You have to believe that. You have to believe what God says in here. Mary Magdalene had an encounter with Jesus and it changed her. And it allowed her to do things for the kingdom of God that she never thought she could. When you meet the Savior of the world, y'all, it will change you. So your life needs to look different. Don't let fear or discouragement or disappointment hold you back. Live like you're free. Live like you believe what God says. And you know what? I know this isn't easy. I'm not sitting up here telling you it's going to be easy. Y'all, I'm standing on that right now. I am standing on God's word so heavy right now. I got all my weight on what he said in this book right here. Everything. I got it all on this. This past week has been brutal, y'all. We've had a week. And I know that what happened doesn't line up with what he's told me here. I know this. So it doesn't make sense. Things are going to happen to you that don't make sense. I've been struggling with some stuff, y'all. The enemy's coming hard at me. All kinds of lies. And I got questions. I got questions. There are a lot of things that are not lining up with what God said to me. So you know what I'm doing? I'm reminding myself. With a little help from my husband, I am reminding myself that not one thing that happened this past week, not one thing changes the fact that my God is good. My God is good. Your God is good. Nothing changes that. He can't be anything but good. That is who he is. You've got to believe it. You have to believe it. Believe it. Don't take my word for it. Right here. It's in here. Read it. He's good. And he will bring beauty for ashes. It's not over until God says it's over. And that's why I praise him. That's why I give him all of me. My wins and my losses, my money, my time, my heart. Jesus has it all. And it's because just like Mary Magdalene, I had an encounter with Jesus. I had a bunch of them. And I can tell you that no matter what happens, when you encounter Jesus, you won't be the same. And when you put him first, you honor God in everything, he'll honor you in ways that you can't even imagine. Because you know what? After Mary Magdalene encountered the freedom that only Jesus could give her, she was grateful. She devoted her life to Jesus. And you know what? Even after his death, she was still giving, still serving, still being grateful. We read in John 20, verse 1, that she got up super early, before the crack of dawn, the day after the Sabbath. Jesus was dead. She got up early to honor him. You know, there wasn't time to properly bury him when they crucified him. So Mary Magdalene, she wanted to make sure it was done right. So she got up early. She sacrificed her sleep, her time. She sacrificed more money. She went and got a bunch of expensive spices. She headed straight to the tomb. And when she gets there, she sees that the stone has been moved and the tomb is empty. I can't imagine what she was thinking. She was obviously distraught because she runs away. And she goes looks for Peter and John to tell them what happened, thinking maybe they could help her make sense of it. So what do? They go running back to the tomb. Check her out. This woman's crazy. Let's go see what's going on over here. And they go inside. This is Peter and John, y'all. Disciples of Jesus who heard him say, I'm coming back. Peter and John run to the... They actually had a race. Who's going to get here faster? Those two were always competing. They ran back to the tomb. They go inside. They see the body isn't there. They see the grave clothes that they know he was wrapped in. And what do? They turn and walk away. Hello? Like, they just walk away, y'all. They saw the empty tomb, and they went away, and they hid. But not Mary Magdalene. She didn't care if the authorities found her and arrested her for being a follower of Jesus. They did. They went and hid. She didn't care. She had an encounter with Jesus. She was giving it all no matter what. So she goes back to the tomb. She goes back to the tomb. She wanted to know where her Savior was. Who took him? You know, I think Mary Magdalene might have had a little thug or gangster in her. You know that, I don't care what you say. I'm going back. Where are we at? Where's he at? What'd y'all do with him? That's what she did. She had spent her whole life following him, loving him, supporting his message. So no matter what, she wasn't going to stop now. She wasn't about to stop now. There will be things that happen in your Christian walk that you will not understand. You may not even be able to process it for a while. But God is faithful, y'all. Never forget that. He's faithful. He's not going to let you down. That's not who he is. It might look like it's over. But I can tell you this. Just because something doesn't work out the way you thought it would, doesn't mean it's over. I don't know what Mary thought as she watched Jesus die on that cross. But she wasn't done serving him. And God saw that. And he honored her devotion and her service. Look at John 20, verse 11. Look at what it says. Mary stood outside the tomb crying. And as she bent over and wept and looked into the tomb, she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at one end and one at the other. Y'all, Mary Magdalene had an encounter with Jesus and with angels. None of the other guys had an encounter with angels, but Mary did. She had a face-to-face angelic visitation. And you know what? They're asking her, why are you crying? Why are you crying? And then she turns around and she sees somebody else there asking her the same thing. Why are you crying? What are you looking for? She didn't realize Jesus was standing right there in front of her talking to her. She was so distraught. Sometimes the pain in your heart is so deep, so heavy, that you lose sight of the good that's around you. That's what happened here. And then scripture says, thinking that he was a gardener, Mary said, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him and I will get him. And then watch this, y'all. Jesus calls her by her name. Jesus calls her by her name. He said to her, Mary. And that's when she turned around and she cried out, Rabbi, teacher. Mary didn't recognize Jesus until he called her by her name. Did you hear me say that? She recognized him when he called her by her name. She didn't know who he was until that. The first time that happened, the first time he called her by her name, she was completely lost in darkness. And Jesus brought her out of that. So when Jesus called her by her name in that tomb, she knew it was him. She knew that voice was the same voice she heard when she wasn't in her right mind. And that voice brought healing. This time, that same voice brought hope. Friends, Jesus is calling your name, but do you hear him? Or has the pain of your past, or maybe what's going on right now, is that drowning out his voice? We don't know a lot about Mary Magdalene. We don't know a lot about her first encounter with Jesus, but we do know that she answered his call. Not one of the seven demons roaring around in her head could drown out the voice of her Savior. Not one. There's nothing you're going through. There's no lie that you're hearing right now that can drown out the voice of Jesus Christ. Hear him. He's calling your name. When Jesus calls your name, you're going to know. There ain't no demon in hell that can silence his voice. Only you can do that. Only you can silence his voice. Mary Magdalene was completely engulfed in darkness, y'all. Out of her right mind. Out of her mind. But she heard his voice and she followed him. And you know what? God never left her side. He never left her side. So as she sat there in deep sorrow, crying out before an empty tomb, trying to make sense of it all, he called her name, and look what happened next. John 20, verse 17, it says that Jesus honors her in a way that was unimaginable in those days. Jesus told Mary Magdalene, go tell others about me. And it was because of her faithfulness, her devotion, her living out this new life that God had given her when she answered that first call. Mary Magdalene, she got to be the first person to see the risen Savior. And not only that, she was the first preacher commissioned to continue to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. A woman. A woman, y'all. A woman with a past. A woman that society considered worthless. Women were worthless. They were possessions. And if they were no good anymore, see ya. Tossed out. Unimportant, insignificant, a woman who was completely given over to darkness. This woman was not so far gone that Jesus couldn't find her, and neither are you. Neither are you. You know what? I'm going to ask you right now, just bow your heads, close your eyes. Jesus is here in this place, and he's been here all morning waiting for you. Whether you realize it or not, he called you here.
He called you here, and he's talking right now. You've never gone too far. You have not gone too far. Even when you question things, God's still there. He hears you. He sees your tears. He knows the pain in your heart and your mind. And he has freedom and healing in his hands. You know, maybe you're already saved and you've already answered the call to Jesus and you've given your life over to him, but you're hurting right now. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you've lost hope that things are going to change. If that's you, I want you to take a deep breath and I want you to listen to my voice. And instead of hearing me, let it be Jesus talking to you right now. Hear Jesus. And this is what he's telling you. He's saying, I see you. I love you. That has never changed. I know what they did. I was there. It wasn't right. I know they hurt you. It hurt me too. And I am here to heal it. And I want to restore everything they took from you. And if you let me, it will be better than what you lost. Friends, Jesus loves you so much. People can only love us to a certain point, but not Jesus. His love is perfect. His love is perfect, and it's unconditional. Who else would take a lost cause and make her a preacher? Peter denied Jesus 3 times. 3 times Peter said, I don't even know him. And this is after he walked side by side with God himself. You know, Peter had to feel so far gone. But Jesus told Mary from the tomb, go tell everyone I am alive and make sure you tell Peter. You're not too far gone. God sees you. He brought you here today for this very moment to give you another chance to accept Jesus, to become a follower of Jesus, sold out, born again, follower of Jesus, to sow your life into his ministry. And if you're ready to do that, if you hear his voice, don't pass up this chance. You have a chance to be free. This is your moment. It starts turning away from sin. Let go of the past. Let go of the way you've been living. Because you know that's not God's best for you. And if you're ready to turn away from that, this is your moment. All you have to do is just pray a prayer with me. Mean it with your whole heart. Turn away from that life. And Jesus will set you free to follow him the rest of your life. He will be there. He's there now. He won't let you go. And he will give you beauty for the ashes of what's burned up. If you're ready, all you got to do, say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. I ask you to wash me clean. Come into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.